Forgive me for doing a basic thing here. I've got a word I want to share with you, but I want to cover something because listen, it's easy to take for granted the basics of the body of Christ and of the scriptures, and so we want to make sure that we don't do that and not be negligent because we're going for deep things and further things and new things, and then all of a sudden we forget the basic building blocks. And so I just want to take a moment to exult in the gift and the glory of the scriptures. How many of you love your Bibles? Do you have a Bible? I hope you have a Bible. You have a phone with Bibles on it? I love my Bible. I got saved at 10 and fell in love with my King James Bible, and I had a Billy Graham day by day, and I was sucking that stuff up every day until translations came that I could understand. Anyway, and so... But it was awesome, and I was supernaturally gathered because my grandpa, who had a fifth grade education, I found a Bible in his bathroom, and he would read it every morning. There were check marks where he was just every day reading the word, and it was like a chunk of salt to me, and I just fell in love with my Bible. I told some people, I don't ever remember anybody telling me I had to read my Bible, thank God, because I didn't have to get delivered from that. You know what I mean? I just, by the grace of God, fell in love with it. Purely was the grace of God. And so I've been a reader and a lover of the word for a long time, and I hope you're growing in it. By the way, I'm a teacher, leader, so my propensity toward the scriptures is pretty strong. Other gift mixes move in different ways with the scripture, so pardon my ravenous celebration of the scriptures. Don't feel condemnation, and like I don't feel that about it, but I think we're all to be lovers of the word of God. And we love the prophetic and God speaking right now. We love it because the Bible calls us to love it, but we want to keep at center core the scriptures. So let me read a couple passages, make a couple comments, and then we'll pray and move on. All scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped in every good work. Apostle Paul wrote this in his last letter, nearing the end of his last letter before he's going to be beheaded. He writes this glorious verse. All scripture is inspired. It's breathed out by God. The scriptures are uniquely inspired by God and thus inerrant in their revelation. There is no other book like this on planet Earth. It's the most glorious, unique, supernatural book on the planet. You search the scriptures, Jesus says in John 5:39 to the Pharisees, because you think that in them, just these scriptures, that you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. The scriptures' central theme is Jesus Christ, thus making a Jesus hermeneutic, which we have a podcast about, essential for discerning them correctly. I don't think you can read your Bible correct. If you only go to this to get rules and regulations and principles, you've missed the point of the Bible. The Bible, according to Jesus, the Pharisees, who were great theologians, loved the word. We got to honor for that. Nasser and I talk about how they preserve the scriptures through a lot of stuff. They get such a bad rap, but the Pharisees did a lot of good stuff, and they loved the scriptures, but they were missing the point. The point of the scriptures is to reveal Jesus Christ, as Joel prayed earlier. The reasons the scriptures should be high value to us is, number one, Jesus, the God-man, highly valued and lived by the scriptures. When he's warring with Satan, he's quoting the book of Deuteronomy. When he's walking out his life, he's fulfilling prophetic verses. He highly valued the Old Testament, and so should we. Number two, the writers are firsthand eyewitnesses who are humbly honest and pay the ultimate price. The authors of this scripture are, I put self-deprecating, then I erased that and went humble, whatever, because I thought it might not make sense. But it's crazy how these guys show their good side and their bad side. I mean, they show the weaknesses and their screw-ups, and it's such a radical kind of manifestation of honesty that we've got to pay attention to it, and they all paid the ultimate price with their lives and died for this, for the revelation of this book. Number three, prophecies fulfilled confirmed that it's a supernatural book with 100% record of accuracy. 300 prophecies about Jesus, 191 of them fulfilled in the last, like, 6 hours of his life. I mean, to the dot. His whole life is like this prophetic outflow of Scripture. So I'm telling you, thousands of prophecies in the Scripture have come about, are coming about, and will come about. This is a supernatural book. There is nothing like it on the planet. Number four, outside historical archaeological confirmation, make the Scriptures the most unique, confirmed, and trusted document, I believe, on planet Earth. Our history is not denied. I preached on Easter a couple years. It's ridiculous that this book is not centerpiece in every university in the United States. The way that we prove something is historically accurate, this blows all, it's just amazing how many verifying manuscripts there are, how many people outside that have confirmed it, all the things that we use to prove that a book is a book about history that we believe from centuries ago we weren't in, there's nothing like it. It's the most amazing book. So we as a family, with all of our heart, clearly and unashamedly, believe that the Bible is the apostolic revelation of what we believe and how we practice what we believe. We're not religious spirit about the Bible. The Bible is full of the words of life. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never, okay? So we love it. But again, I want to say that phrase. It is the apostolic, firsthand eyewitness revelation of what we believe, our orthodoxy, and of how we practice what we believe, our orthopraxy. And so we love the Bible. We love it. I'm going to preach from the Bible today. I'm going to share you word. I've got a word on my heart. I think it's in season to bless you. But I'm going to use as the foundation, not me. I'm going to use the Scriptures because that's what we want to do, is we want to be an apostolic flowing community. So Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus for everyone in this room for a revival in the Word of God. I pray for a revival of hunger for the Scriptures. I pray all the ought-to slave mentality, religious spirit that's on them about the Bible would be broke off like the shackle it is. And their hearts would be unleashed to read the words of inspiration that were written by the one that lives inside them, the Holy Spirit. May there be a connection between your life in us and the Bible. And I just pray, Lord, we'd see a revival of that in the body of Christ in this season. Lord, we so love you. Let there not, as Amos says, be a famine of the word of the Lord. We pray we'd be a strong prophetic community, but may we be a people that are really rooted in the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. But I think we're going to go to one of the strong teaching churches in the city, and we're going to pray about the Word of God in the family of God, because something's happening in this generation, and biblical illiteracy is on the rise, and that needs not to happen. We need to be more unreligious, but we've got to be more Word-centered if we want to stay on the track of what God's doing in our lives. That makes sense? Good. So let me ask, I feel compelled, and then I'll get to this Word. How many in this room have ever struggled with wanting to and reading your Bible? Hand up and down. Yeah, you bunch of sinners. Yeah, what? You should not be shocked about that. The devil hates the Word of God, and your flesh is responding. You got to get out of condemnation about it. And you really have got to confess that stuff, get family around you for them to be able to pray for you, to be able to learn how to be in the Word of God. And let me say something else. Don't read the Bible like I read the Bible. I mean, read with a Jesus hermeneutic, but I'm obsessive. I've had seasons where I was reading the New Testament every month, and I'd read the Old Testament every 3 months. It was ridiculous. Just, glutting. I would never put that on anybody else. That was my call for that season. Then the Lord shifted me to other seasons where I've literally read a verse one day and meditate, eat it, and soak it. But the Holy Spirit was my leader in my life in the Word. And so I just want you to know that we're praying for you, that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in the Scriptures and to take you deep and not live from, again, a sense of ought to in your mind and legalism, and also not depend on just me to give you word or some pastor. If that's the only time you're getting word, you're living a malnourished life, man, and missing the glory. The greatest teacher on planet Earth is the Holy Spirit, the anointing within you. And I'm telling you, there's something that happens when you open the Bible and you're like a kid, and you let the Holy Spirit begin to work and move and enlighten and open your heart. It's a beautiful thing. And it says that in 1 John chapter 2, the anointing within you will teach you. So expose your heart to that if you can.